fearing, and some Muslims are confused, like some Christians are confused. So Muslims are just human beings. But there's no difference among Muslims about the Quran. No Muslims in the world. All Muslims know the Quran. If I arbitrarily pick this Muslim, who I never met before I came to Australia, and I picked another Muslim who I never met from Indonesia, and I picked another Muslim who was from Arabia, and another Muslim from Africa, and another Muslim from Germany, and asked all of them to stand up, and I said, let us all recite from Surah Amma Yatasa'alun. I'll guarantee you, all of us would begin reciting until the end of that particular surah exactly the same, and we didn't know each other. But the Christians couldn't stand up and do that arbitrarily. You want to make that test? We can make the test. Any book of the Bible, you could not stand up and recite it all together using the same words and end up the same. Because there's 354 different versions of the Bible. And all the different denominations themselves don't agree the amount of verses or the amount of chapters or where they came from. Why is there not a united gathering of leaders to address the above? Unity is up to God. God puts inspiration in the hearts of people. It's not people who make that determination. I want to know that if God had the power to keep the Quran in its original form, why wasn't God able to save the other holy scriptures? It wasn't intended. And I'm not God, so that's not a question for me. The point is that God sent a messenger, and God sent a revelation, and God sent a legislation that was to clarify and to be the finality of all the prophets, all the revelations, and all the laws and legal edits that were sent. So if you follow the Quran, you're following all the previous revelations. If you follow Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, you're following all the prophets. And if you follow Islam, you're following the deen or the system of life that's been ordered by God to all the prophets. Why is there a need to preserve it in the beginning if it was only to a group of people when he sent it in the end for the entire world? You know, you can keep ducking and dodging. You can still keep trying to find some kind of fault. You can still keep trying to find and see if you can find some reason. But the Quran is clear. It needs no defense. The life of the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, is profound, like the sun in the sky. It needs no defense. Islam as a system of life needs no defense. I only say to you, stop asking all these questions and simply take the test, like they say. Take the Pepsi challenge. Read the Quran with an open heart. Read about the life of the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, with an open heart and an open mind. Then after that, examine the system of Islam with an open heart. Whether you're a lawyer, a doctor, an architect, whether you're poor, you're rich, you're whatever it is, I guarantee you, your life will never be the same. Why do you cover your heads? Well, I don't know. I started losing all my hair, so I suppose. Muslims... Muslims cover their heads, Muslim men cover their heads out of tradition and out of respect. Not all Muslim men cover their heads, obviously, but those that do, they do so because at times, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he liked to do that. For me, I like to distinguish myself as a Muslim. And whether I'm wearing a suit and tie, which I do sometimes, or whether I'm wearing a gown like I'm wearing today, I like to cover my head because not many people cover their heads. Not many men, period, cover their heads with a brimless cap. So if I'm in an airport, I'm always designated. You know what that means, right? I always ask the people in the lounge when they say, Mr. Yassin, you've been randomly selected. I said, I know, I'm designated, right? And I turn around to the other people in the lounge and I say to them, is there something distinct about me that I should always be designated? And what do you think they do? They say, yes. So, yes, Muslims, many Muslims choose to cover their heads, just like most Muslim men following the tradition of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam choose to grow a beard. So wearing of the beard and the covering of the head together, that kind of is like that's an indication that a person is a Muslim. Usually now, because it could be a Buddhist, Could be a Hindu, could be a Sikh, it could be a Jewish person, but it's a different, usually a different kind of hat. So, wearing of the beard is a tradition. Doesn't mean that a person cuts their beard off, they're not a Muslim, but most Muslim men, because it's a tradition of the Prophet, peace be upon him, that he told us to do, they usually grow a beard. And some of us, we like to cover our heads. Now, for the Muslim ladies, that's different. The covering of their head, and the wearing of a loose garment, and the covering of their bodies, and the not showing of their attractions is a part of their uniform. God has given the Muslim ladies a specific uniform. So they would be distinguished and known as Muslim ladies. And they would not be molested. And that in the streets, when men see them, just by the way they're dressed, they would get some kind of respect. You don't hardly hear men whistling at Muslim ladies. So, I mean, and don't think that the Muslim ladies are any less beautiful than any other woman. It's just that they hold and cover their beauty for their husbands. It's like pearls and diamonds. If I came to your house and I asked you, can I see your diamonds? Can I see your money? Can I see your jewels? Can I have your PIN number? You wouldn't give it to me, and you wouldn't have it in front of me. Well, our women, our wives and our mothers and our daughters, they're worth more to us. They're more precious to us than our diamonds, our gold, and our PIN number. Is the translation of English sufficiently accurate? Actually, no language can adequately translate the Quran. The Quran is only in Arabic. It is only in Arabic. It's the formula of the revelation itself. However, the meanings of the Quran can be rendered into various languages. So that's all it is, a rendering. It is not a translation. Okay, I think that, is there more questions? I'll answer two or three more. Is that okay? Maybe he meant by the Comforter to be the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Spirit. Maybe Jesus spoke as if Jesus also said that I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus didn't speak Greek. Now, Jesus didn't speak Greek now. Jesus spoke Aramaic. Now, what is Alpha and Omega in Aramaic? Alpha and Omega is part of the Greek language, isn't it? Isn't it? Jesus didn't speak that. This is something that somebody asserted to Jesus Christ. And this is the whole problem. You have people continuing to tagging stuff on Jesus Christ, saying something about Jesus Christ, lying on Jesus Christ, fabricating on Jesus Christ, blaspheming God, attributing things to Jesus Christ with no evidence and no proof except their own desires. Jesus didn't say this. And you're reaching for straws, but you're out in the middle of the ocean. How do you explain evolution? Darwin didn't explain it well. Now here's a man, Darwin, Charles Darwin. Let's look into his life for a moment. Charles Darwin said that man evolved from monkeys. Did he say that? Okay, let's look at this here. I mean, he's gone, but let's you and I look at it now in the light of scientific exploration and fact. Do monkeys cry? Do monkeys cry? No, they don't. Monkeys do not have the intellectual capacity or emotion that they cry. Human beings do. That's just as much a part of their being as is their physical being. Yes, monkeys are mammals, and human beings are mammals. But do monkeys calculate? Do monkeys orchestrate? Do monkeys investigate? Do monkeys earn PhDs? Do monkeys put up buildings? Do monkeys build zoos and put human beings in them? Finally, if man was evolved from a monkey, wouldn't he still be evolving? What have we evolved to? And if man has evolved, if monkeys have evolved into men, why are monkeys still here? Darwin's theory lived about 25 or 30 years after he died. No one still puts forward the idea of Darwin's theory of evolution. That idea is dead, just like communism is dead when the Soviet Union was dismantled. And if you're still talking about evolution, then you're really a bush doctor looking for a cure for polio. It's over with. It's finished. And that is not even the issue. The issue is, if Darwin feels that the theory of evolution is what we call natural selection, then we might come out of that, because God was the one that made the natural selection for us to be here. But Darwin didn't say that. The other thing is that, don't put too much stock on Darwin now, because you got to look at his personal life. He was a bit confused himself. Now, I don't like to talk about the dead, but Darwin has some major problems in his personal life. Darwin has some major moral inconsistencies. That when you look at these major moral inconsistencies, along with a theory that he put, or he disguised, or he hoodwinked the whole world with, I think it's time to put that to, we need to put that to rest where Darwin is. Why do you say that Islam is 1,500 years old when Adam is the first human as a Muslim? I didn't say that Islam was 1,500 years old. I said that the Quran was revealed 1,424 years ago. And I said that Adam and all the prophets were Muslims. It meant that Islam, meaning peace and surrender, was the faith of all the prophets. But it wasn't named until the Quran was revealed. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islamu dina. That verse came in the Quran. And that's when it became formally named as a system. Before that, it wasn't named as a system. If I didn't say that, I'm clarifying that now. What does Islam say about donating organs and about cloning? We Muslims, we do not donate organs. The organs that God gave to me are for me. However, some scholars said that if my son or my daughter was dying of some rare disease, and I have two kidneys, or I have two of this, or whatever the case might be, and I wanted to donate that to them, like giving them blood, this will become permissible. But I'm not allowed to take my body, which is a sacrament, my body which is sacred, my body that was given to me by God, a body that was given to me as a gift that I don't own myself. I'm not allowed to take my organs and give them to other people and to create a new industry of spare parts. And as for cloning, they will clone what God allows them to clone. But I'll guarantee you this. God says in the Quran, وَخَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَكْوِيمٍ, that we created man from the best of molds. Nobody will create what God has created. I'll guarantee you, if they've got a nation of clones somewhere, you got a nation of freaks. They're going to be deformed. They're going to be dysfunctional. There's going to be shortcomings, mix-ups, problems, complications, and there already are signs of that right now, because they've got factories right now where they're doing, what is it called? Robotronics. Robotronics. They are now experimenting by putting different kinds of parts inside of human beings, taking computer parts and putting them inside human beings, making them half machine and half human. And they got experiments where they got buildings out in Texas, buildings up in France, and places where they are experimenting on human beings like that. But they've already got problems and complications with that right now, because man is not able to create like God. Second thing is, if they want to clone something, that's no big deal, because they're making something out of something, isn't it? If they really want to do something, let them make something out of nothing. You say that Islam is a complete system, but we're in this world nowadays where Islam runs completely in its entirety. I said that Islam as a system is complete. I didn't say that the human beings have followed it comprehensively. You see, if I bake a cake, even though I'm a Muslim and a baker, if I bake a cake and don't put the yeast in it, do you think it's going to rise because I'm a Muslim? So if the Muslims right now are not applying Islam, then they ain't got no yeast. And it's not going to work for them either. But if the Muslims apply what God set up as a system, God says in the Quran, "Inna dina indallahi al-Islam." Verily, the system in front of God that's acceptable to God is Islam, submission to His will. If men serve God the way God has ordered them to serve Him, you don't think that man will get what he's supposed to get? I mean, some of us now have automobiles that have, what are those systems they got in the automobiles now? What do they call them? Navigation systems. A navigation system that you can interchange with different software that'll tell you from a satellite where you are, talk to you all the way into your driveway. A navigation system created by human beings. And you don't think that God who created the heavens and earth and created human beings is able to navigate them? Yes, whoever follows God's navigation, whoever follows God's guidance, whoever follows God's scripture, whoever follows God's messenger will also find God's guidance in the system of life that He has created for human beings. And who is best to guide the human beings other than the one that created them? That's the last question. Those who would like to meet with me, the non-Muslims, I will meet in a designated room that the brothers who sponsored this have set aside. The last question, I'm sorry. Oh, personal questions and answers for reverts after the lecture. Doors beside the canteen on the right-hand side. Okay, someone will direct you towards that. Thank you very much. May Allah bless you.